Here's Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
Ever seen the show Pumped? This is a great show. It's with Ashton Kutcher, the guy that's going out with Demi Moore. That's a great show that you're on, Ashton. If you get off that 70s show thing and just stay on this show, your comedy quotient goes through the ceiling. But as long as you're on that 70s show, you know, you're down around dumb. You're on the dumbbell scale. Anyway, look at that. I can't give the guy a compliment without throwing in just a little left-handed, just a little slap on the cheek. Just a slap on your left cheek, man. So anyway, Pink was on. And they punked Pink. And the way they did it was, her boyfriend apparently is a motorcycle, like a flat track racer. And she was pulling up. And what punked is, if you guys don't know, it's like a candid camera for Generation Y. It's candid camera is what it is. Only they pull a lot of gags on celebrities. They gave Stephen Dorff an $8,000 bar tab, crap like that. Anyway, she's on, and she pulls up in the limousine thinking she's going to see her boyfriend. Instead, she sees him sitting in the back of a radio car with handcuffs on, and they say, so what is your name? And I guess her real name is Alicia Moore or something. I'm Alicia Moore. Okay, and do you know this guy? Yeah, he's my boyfriend. So they say, well, these motorcycles over here are all stolen. And he seems to think you know something about it. I don't know anything about any stolen bikes. I want to talk to him. No. Do you know anything about these stolen bikes? Anyway, they say that they're all stolen. They're in her name. She goes over and she says, what the hell are you doing to me? She's yelling at the boyfriend. And he says, come on, come clean. And finally, she says, I ain't going to talk to you guys. I'm getting my lawyer. She whips out the phone. I'm looking at her. She was really cool under the circumstances. She says, well, I ain't going to, you know, I don't know what you guys are talking about. And finally says, I am talking to you guys. I'm whipping out the old cell phone. I get my lawyers. And then this Ashton Kutcher comes over and sits down, and she flips. I guess she knows the guy or she watches the show, and she flips out, right? Anyway, I was really impressed. I have always, and here, I don't know if you'll understand this because she's not a classic beauty, but I think this kid, this Pink, is a beautiful, sexy woman. I mean, if you want my ideal woman, I'm married to her. But I'm married to, like, the older version of Pink. I got me a butch woman. I got me a tough broad. Nothing like it, man. And I'm telling you, she's got a fantastic body. She doesn't have the $9 million breasts. She ain't got the big plastic silicone jobs. She's got a great-looking ass. She's got, a beautiful face. She, you know, she's got a snarly little tomboy face, but I think it's beautiful. And not only that, she's not married to some lightweight showbiz guy. She's married to some dude that does something else for a living. And I say that to say that I am leaving my wife of 7 years, and I'm moving in with Pink now that her boyfriend's been arrested for stealing motorcycles. So I want to thank Punk for doing that. Actually, the reason why I brought it up was for a more selfish reason, although I did want to say that about Pink because I think she is hot. Without question. You want to know how unusual a guy I am and how unusual the show is? Look at my unusual selection of hot, sexy woman of the planet. Pink. Not what's-her-face and not the other one. You know, whoever the hell they are. Pink, baby. Damn. Hey, Pink. Where I live, we go right over the mountain down to the rock store and, you know, I'll buy a Harley. You are right, baby. I hope he treats you good. Because you know how those flat track guys and those motocross guys, because I've known them all, they tend to beat women. So maybe you dig that. I don't know. I doubt it. But here's what I wanted to say. And we opened the show today on a selfish note. Punked. Candid camera. Kind of show. Spy TV. Candid camera kind of show. Jamie Kennedy experiment. Shticking unknown people. Crank Yankers. My good friend Jimmy Kimmel's show, which, anyway. Now, I'm going to say this. You don't have to believe it, but what I'm about to tell you is gospel truth. You don't have to believe it, but I'm going to tell you this is gospel truth. And I frankly don't care who doesn't think it's true or not. I came to Los Angeles in 1996 to do this show. We hit the air in Los Angeles, the radio dial here, it's still horrible, but it was, if you think it's bad now, you had no idea how radio in this town sounded in 1996. It was unbelievably unlistenable. We got on the air, we did this crazy-ass show, we start chumping callers with character voices, Well, what do you think happens? Within about 7, 8, 9 months, I get the first call from the TV company. Well, what are you interested in doing anything on TV? No. Well, would you like? What do you want to do on TV? I said I don't want to do anything on TV. Company number two. What do you want to do on TV? I don't want to do anything on TV. And on and on and on it goes, right? Now what do you think starts happening? All of a sudden, within a year, year and a half, here comes these Schtickmeister shows. Here comes these phone gag shows. And this punk show, I got pitched 3 years ago, as God is my witness, by this guy who said, we want to take your characters and put them on TV. And what you would do is you would sit behind a wall with a TV monitor and a microphone and do all the voices and this and that and something else, right? What do you think I'm watching on Punk'd? They got Ashton Kutcherboy sitting behind a thing, and he's doing the do, right? And so, and then along comes Jamie Kennedy, who acknowledges that he listens to my show, and then along comes that other, whatever the hell it was. What was that thing? Cranky Anchors, yeah. Which Jimmy Kimmel got pissed off when I said that that's just a lift of what I do, and he comes back with, well, I've been doing crank phone calls since I was in college. Yeah, but why now? Why all of a sudden now are you turning into a TV show? Why didn't you turn into a TV show 10 years ago? Why? Because the kid came along, plopped his ass down in L.A., and this town being the way it is, nobody with an original idea, in other words, they start lifting the concept of this, and plus, it's a money saver. So I expect to be paid handsomely, or I'm filing a lawsuit against every last one of you, including you, Pink. I'm going to sue you for not being my girlfriend. What do you think of that? I'm watching this punk the other night. I'm going, wait a second. The guy's behind a thing with a microphone. A guy came in and pitched me this idea like 3 years ago. Sit behind a thing with a microphone. That could be me. Then I would have met Pink. And then the rest of it would have been a white trash dream, man. She, me, a bike, and a trailer. Come on, baby, you don't need no movie thing, TV, you know, singing and all that. Kobe Bryant, by the way, will stand trial for rape, and we'll have more on that and other items when we come back here on the Phil Henry Show. We also have on our program today, very proud to have Bobby Dooley and her husband Steve to talk about the weakness of people who need pain medication. Bob Green will be on to talk about his daughter running around looking for magazine subscriptions so she can win the prize going to Universal Studios. Does that remind me of anybody? Yeah. How about my daughter? We'll also talk about this great man who stashed box cutters on an airplane. As I mentioned, Kobe is standing trial for rape. And by when you get a look at this, whatever the hell you call this, what is this called? Hi, I'm a talk show host, and there's the court paper with writing on it. It's the court transcript of the thing. It's the thing that says, Bryant, you're guilty, brother. You're guilty, boy. And you're going to get hung from the highest tree here in Eagle County. When this what's-her-face, Mackie, gets a hold of this, she's going to have she's going to have those Eagle County boys for lunch. Those hicks up there are going to get chewed up and spit out. Let me tell you just one little tiny No, I'll come back with it. I'll tell you one thing that she'll take and she'll run with, and it's very reminiscent of the O.J. trial. As soon as I read this, you guys will know what I'm talking about. There's one thing in here, in this statement to remand him to be on trial, whatever the hell they're called. Here it is. It says here, order for to be on trial the black man. There it is, state of Colorado versus Kobe Bean Bryant. Someone get me a doctor. You kidding? So when I read this thing, you're not going to believe it, baby. 1-800-449-8686. Phone calls for the next 45 minutes. Bobby Dooley, Bob Green, all ahead on the world-famous, oft-ripped-off, and never-paid Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry, 1-800-449-8686.
And now more on the Phil Henry Show.
We will talk about Kobe Bryant and all that stuff here in just a moment, including something in this order to have him stand trial, which is going to be seized upon by his attorney, and it could be the absolute undoing of the prosecution. And again, if Kobe Bryant's innocent, he's acting the way he's acting because he feels he cannot possibly get a fair trial from a bunch of white people when you're a black man accused of raping a white girl. Now, that's the facts, Jack. Whether you like it or not, that's the way it is. If he's guilty, well, he's depressed because he could be found out. But either way, the guy is depressed. He's not really, I don't think he's really performing at practice. What's he doing? Just layups instead of dunks, etc. His mind is definitely not on business. But I want to just thank the guy that planted those box cutters on the Southwest Airlines plane, and the guy that, you haven't heard this story? A guy planted box cutters and something that looked like plastic explosive, it's actually just clay and liquid that could have been, you know, some explosive liquid, on a Southwest Airline jet in the can last month, and it was just discovered a couple of weeks ago, I think. I want to thank, and he did it on purpose. He did it to show the security problems that we have at the airports. I want to thank that guy because I'm going to tell you something, and this means a lot to me. This just personally means a lot to me. I don't know about anybody else. The worst thing that happened after 9/11, 9/11 was bad, but the worst thing that happened was we absolutely misread that event. Couldn't have misread it more. Couldn't have been more wrong about that event. I'll never forget it. I heard the people calling. Phil, this is only the first wave, you understand that? Oh, really? That's, why do you think that? Well, they've got more jets, I'm sure. There's going to be more, and it'll be deadly. And my friend who works in the bank said he saw a guy with a turban. And, yeah, thank you very much for your call. Get out of here. I said, this is the best they got, man. Those four planes, they shot their wad. Oh, no, 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 no. There's going to be more, and there's going to be this, and there's going to be that. And you know what they're going to use? What are they going to use? Well, they're going to use box cutters. Yeah. And they're going to use, and they're going to use Swiss Army knives. Uh-huh. And they're going to even use, you know, like those files that you use for your fingers. Uh-huh. And they're also going to use, you know, stuff like that. Forks. Why, even the metal fork that they give you. They could hijack a whole plane. You know, it suddenly dawned on me. Never again will a plane ever be hijacked with a fork or a box cutter. And what we need to do, folks, you got to join me in this. You have to join me in this. The security people at the airports are being unfairly characterized as incompetent, and they're being unfairly, I think they're being given a job that is impossible. It is impossible. Somebody's got to understand what I'm talking about. I don't care if it's the CIA, if it's the Crown Prince's personal security, if it's the Tsar of Nicholas, the Tsar of Russia's personal bodyguards, if it's the guy that was guarding Lincoln the night he got shot. I don't care who. There's nobody that can do that job, man. No one. You can't keep out every little tiny thing. And you know, look at that. I got on the plane with shoes. Oh, well, that's great. You know what that means, don't you? It'll blow the whole freaking plane up. Yeah, and I got on the plane wearing pants. Can you imagine that? I have pants on. Yeah, it's, the whole thing's going to hell. I don't know what to do about it. I got on the plane wearing pants and underwear. So unless, once again, a guy got on wearing pants. Damn it. Damn it. Damn it. Don't you know they hijacked the plane last month, strangling a guy with a pair of someone's underwear? Excuse me, are you wearing a brassiere? Well, why are you? Are you wearing a brassiere? Well, then get it off. How dare you? Get your hand out of my chest. There. You could strangle and hang the captain with that. Folks, the only thing they need to be looking for, and you know what? No one's going to believe this either, but I'll give it to you straight. The people at Logan Airport, the airport that was criticized. Yeah, I know the jets, two of them or three of them were hijacked out of there. The fact of the matter is they did their job. The security that day did their job. There were no guns, and there were no explosives. There were box cutters. What happened on 9/11 is this. Lack of information. When that plane took off, and those guys took that plane, and they killed those stewardesses, and they said, we're going to get all of you guys, now just shut up, sit down, and we'll fly to JFK, and we'll land the jet. We were living, it truly was a different time. We were living at a time when, okay, believe what they're saying, sit down, and they're just going to, they're hijacking us, they want us for money, and we'll be let, you know, free sooner or later. Nobody imagined they were going to be flown into a freaking building. Well, the day has changed. It's a whole new day now. Some guy actually tried to get up and slit the throat of a flight attendant with a box cutter, and he's going to have an entire cabin full of passengers, as well as the crew to deal with. You know it, I know it, everybody knows it. So why are we still screwing around with these security measures, with box cutters and with pinky rings and with your shoes and your feet and your toe and your jock strap and, you know, and your thong underwear? Well, you can say what you want, Mr. Henry, but we have information that a pilot was garroted with a pair of women's thong underwear. Well, actually, I was wearing them. Well, that's what I thought. All right, enough to get rude about it. Well, stop it already. Stop it. Somebody somewhere. Has anybody got any influence in this matter? Will you knock it off already with the box cutters and the... My wife got on with a Swiss Army knife. She was ready to take that Swiss Army knife and drive it right into the throat of the American Airlines representative she was talking to. I got on the plane with a Swiss Army knife. Don't you know what that means? What? No one's going to hijack a plane with a Swiss Army knife. No one. No one. And nobody's going to hijack a plane with a box cutter. You got to get back to looking for the stuff that they're going to really, they can do some damage with. Guns and explosives. Guns and explosives. Guns and explosives. Let me repeat that. Guns and explosives. And another thing. Explosives and guns. That's exactly what they're going to do. That's what they ought to be looking for. And the rest of this stuff, when you say, well, they did it with box cutters, they did it at a time when the passengers thought, well, we better do what they say. Otherwise, they could kill more of us when, in point of fact, all we have to do is be quiet and they'll land the plane. Now we're all on the same page, aren't we? Yeah.
I sure know what you mean now.
Yeah, that's right. We're on the same page now. The minute some guy takes the plane, we know there's only one thing and one thing only wants to do it. He's going to fly it into a building. I don't give a crap what he says. And the next thing you got to do is get up and kick his ass. That's what you do. That's step two. And then step three, go back and land preferably at your point of destination. In other words, a guy tries to jack the plane, you kick his ass, and you keep flying to Disneyland. And then you throw him out and go, by the way, we got a sack of garbage for you guys here. Right? Knock it off with all of this stuff at the airport, with the pens and the knives and the plastic forks, and you can't have this, you can't have that, and what do you got in your wallet? Get out of here, will you? Let's start looking for the stuff that can actually kill us. So anyway, this guy, who is a student, I don't even know his name, did us all a big favor, if we're smart enough. But, you know, this is America, so who knows? If we're smart enough to check out the message, then we got the message. What is the message? Oh, yeah, that we don't need any more of these stupid security checks. All right, did I tell you I was going to say what this woman found in the, what Pamela Mackey's going to find in this order to have Kobe stand trial? I'll tell you. When we come back. All right, 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Say friends, when looking for something to wear, for instance, if the, I don't know, security takes away your jock strap or something and all in your pants, you get that new Ted's of Beverly Hills Honolulu bowling shirt. It'll cover your rear end and the lower extremities because it's that long. It's almost very tent-like. For my fat friends in Alaska, perfect for driving your truck overland down the Trans-Cam or the Trans-Can. Or the Alaska Can, or Can Alaska. Also for my good buddies over there, my drinking friends, you can get those Ted's of Beverly Hills shot glasses. And let's not forget the classic Ted's of Beverly Hills bowling shirt as well. That's all at www.philhenryshow.com, www.philhenryshow.com. Coming up, why Pamela Mackey's going to have these clowns for lunch in Colorado. Bobby Dooley on painkiller addiction. Bob Green on forcing his employees to buy his daughter's magazines. You know those magazine subscriptions? Those little pain in the ass? I mean those nice little children come door to door for? Those ones. 1-800-449-8686. World famous Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
All right, in a moment, I'll tell you why. Seriously, I will. I'm not kidding. I'm going to tell you about the what Pamela Mackey will seize on in this trial that will most probably destroy the prosecution's case. It is very reminiscent of what happened in the O.J. case. But first, I got to say something about this John Muhammad. You know, this is that scumbag that was arrested last year, along with that other piece of crap from Jamaica. What was that kid's name? Malvo. They were arrested in that sniper shooting back in D.C. Now, guess what? I didn't know this, but he's representing himself. Oh, yeah. Sure. Oh, haven't you heard? That's what all these psychos do now. All these psychotics, especially these psychotic African-American men who go out and commit utter mayhem, cold-blooded murder, and then they want to represent themselves because they can't trust the white man's justice, of course, and then they proceed to make utter asses out of themselves because they wouldn't know a law book from Little Red Riding Hood. And then this guy, Muhammad, that's his last name, you know. You know why? Because he's a Muslim. Well, he said that by the grace of Allah, he would be free. You know, these Muslims with this, the grace of Allah this and the grace of Allah that, just because you change your name, man, doesn't mean you're any different than you were the day before. You can change your name to Calvin Muhammad, Frankie Muhammad, Eddie Muhammad, Seymour Muhammad. I would love to hear a guy named Seymour Muhammad talk. Abner Muhammad. Melvin Merhal, you know, whatever you want to call yourself, it doesn't mean you're any different as a human being. All it does is you're just like the rest of these people that are hooked on religion. You wear the trappings of the religion on the outside, so everybody knows you're a Muslim. So what? Just another scumbag as far as I'm concerned, pal. And now you're going to be representing yourself. So now we're going to listen to you blather on about whatever, just like we heard that guy that did the Long Island Railway. Remember that guy? Oh, that, what was his thing? Oh, yeah, black rage. That's what was his defense. He was going to go into a railroad car, machine gun a bunch of people, and then try to get off because he's pissed off because he's black. I got big news for you, Charlie. I'm pissed off because I'm white. You don't see me running around killing anybody. I'd much rather have a tan so I don't have to get that freaking 45 block every time I walk out into the sun in the daytime. What's wrong with me? I've had it with this whole religion, you know, wearing the trappings of religion. And when I say, hey, you know what? I give it to the Christians just as much as I give it to the Muslims. I do. But today, or maybe yesterday or the day after, is Muslim Day. And today, you cats with that Muhammad stuff, why don't you just bug off with that, man? Take your funny hat off and your stupid name. Why don't you call yourself, if you don't like the slave master's name, which I completely and totally understand, why don't you just call yourself X? Or even an African name I would respect more. You're no more Muslim than I am. You're not Muslim. By God, you may not even be black. This guy's going to stand up and blather on about how what he did, he had to do because America made him do it. So get ready for that one, sports fans. This guy who a year ago, you'll remember, was causing all kinds of heartache, sending horrific notes, threatening all kinds of mayhem. Now the guy's got a reason for this. See, it's all probably tied up in how messed up his life has been. I got a great idea for you there, Mr. Muhammad. Why don't you go out in the middle of a field some night and do the honorable thing? Just take that pistol out of your pocket, stick the barrel in your mouth. Somewhere in the distance, we hear a muffled pistol shot as the echo of it rises above the city. And as the blood comes out of your ears and you slump to the ground, we can just throw you in the garbage dump the next day. We'll just send a truck around to have you thrown in the back, and we can dump you off about 9, 10 a.m. whenever they pick up the trash. How about that? You should do the honorable thing. And that Malvo kid ought to do the honorable thing. Send you guys into a room with a pistol and two bullets in it. You use it first, and then the kid will pick it out of your dead hand. There's something to that suicide stuff, man. I definitely believe in it when it comes to these guys. All right, now, Pamela Mackey is going to take a look. Here we are now with the Kobe trial. Just wanted to say all of that anti-black stuff so people will really get pissed off. because that's exactly what they're going to think it was. Nobody's going to listen to a damn thing I say. Nobody listens to anything I say anyway. My wife doesn't. My employers don't. My engineer doesn't. My producer doesn't. No one hears me. No one hears my cries of pain in the dark. I'm just going to go in and do the honorable thing. All right, I'm going to go shoot John Muhammad. I'm kidding. Pamela Mackey's going to take a look at this order for Kobe to stand trial. That's what I'm going to call it from here on out. Order to, for Kobe to stand trial. Because I can't stand calling it the other thing. Where is it? Oh, is this it? Here it is. Order, probable cause, determination. She's going to look at this thing and she's going to see, aha! Just as I suspected. It goes into all of the things that led up to the supposed consensual sexual act. It goes into the alleged victim submitting to a sexual assault exam. It goes into what was found in the sexual assault exam. And then it comes to a section here on page, well, I really don't know what page it is, page 6. And it says the following. It says that the blood that was found on the inside of Kobe Bryant's shirt that the detective said he witnessed on the inside of Kobe Bryant's shirt was in point of fact not discovered until CBI, which is the lab where all of these forensic tests are conducted, until it had conducted its forensic evaluation. And thus, Detective Winter's observations were not made until the evidence was returned from CBI. Do you understand what that means, folks? It means tainted evidence. That's what she's going to say. Wait a minute, what are you talking about? Well, you didn't see the blood until it came back. Yeah. Okay, well, how do you know they didn't put the blood on the shirt when it was in the lab? Oh, our guys wouldn't do that. Well, that's not L.A. Well, hey, guess what, pal? I'm not in a very trusting frame of mind these days. Are you trying to tell me that we took blood? Where did we get the blood? Well, Mr. Bryant had to submit to a blood test, didn't he? So did the alleged victim. Are you trying to tell me we took blood from Kobe Bryant and we smeared it on the inside? We took blood from the woman and we smeared it on the inside of his shirt to make it look like he did it? Why not? Well, we don't do that in Eagle County. Well, I got money says you do. Well, how can you prove it? How can you prove that blood was on that shirt when Detective Winters received the shirt from Mr. Bryant? How do we know the blood was on that shirt when Kobe Bryant brought it to the station house or whoever brought it to the station house? How do we know you guys didn't stick it on there? Man, she's going to be all over that like white on rice. She'll crawl all over that and she'll shove it right back up their rear ends. You mark my words. You mark my words. See, these hicks up there in Eagle County, they butchered this thing six ways to sunset. You can read this thing. There were no fingerprints taken, no effort was made to collect other forensic evidence from the bathroom, and other than casual observation, no efforts were made to check for blood in the hotel room itself, no samples of carpeting were taken from the area where the alleged sexual assault took place. And you have to keep this other thing in mind, that in the state of Colorado, Even the lightest amount of evidence, very favorable to the prosecution, is all you need to have something go forward to trial. The alleged victim's yellow underwear worn to and collected during the sexual assault examination contained the alleged victim's blood and semen that the CBI determined did not match the defendant's DNA profile. These were the underwear that she wore during the examination. No test had been performed to identify the source of the semen, despite the defendant's request. Requests for samples from two individuals believed by Detective Winters to be responsible for it have not provided those samples. Pubic hair combings taken from the alleged victim of the sexual assault were determined to be of Caucasian origin. Additional swabs were taken from the alleged victim's body, which contains semen and sperm. They've not yet been tested, despite requests by the defendant. Upon receipt of this additional information, Winters had not inquired of the nurse as to the test, etc., so on and so forth. A lot of this stuff, man, these guys are going to get ripped to shreds. Don't even worry about it. This is too gray an area for any Eagle County DA. Yeah, I'd love to believe in Perry Mason. Yes, I'd like to believe that the little man wins all. I'd love it to believe that some DA in Eagle County, Colorado is going to rise up and just like in the movies, he's going to kick the crap out of the big city lawyer. Well, guess what? This is real life. This guy's going to get chewed up, just kind of masticated a little bit, then spit out. She's got, when you read this thing, and I'm not a lawyer, but for God's sake, when they ask the question, did you see the blood on that shirt before it was given over to the lab? No, I did not. Well, when did you see it? After it came back from the lab. Well, hello? And you're saying that her blood was on his shirt? Yes. How do you know the lab didn't put it on there? I would assume. Well, we ain't into assuming around here, is we? This is Eagle County. We is serious about this. Small bruise on her jaw, etc. And let me tell you one other thing. When Mackey says the injuries she had could have been from three different men on three different days, what do you read that to mean? That she had sex with three men on three consecutive days, right? That's not what she said. She didn't say three consecutive days. She said three men on three different days. But she's already planted in the mind of the dumbass press, 90% of the American people, and any stupid clown they happen to pick up for the jury, she's already planted in their mind, this woman's a slut because she had sex with three men on 3 days. I had sex with three women in three consecutive days. Nobody's calling me a slut, but that was way back in my single years when I could actually perform. Now, of course, that's the one thing I wanted to tell you, Pink. I'm a hell of a man other than that. Now, we all have had sex on three consecutive days with three consecutive men, haven't we? You mean I'm the only one? Anyway, that's not what she said. She said just 3 days. So that's another little trick that Ms. Mackey pulled. And I'm sure she's got a few more she's going to be pulling out of her briefcase and out of her gym bag before long. All right, so that's it. I gave it to you straight. I'm giving it to you just the dirty hard facts. They've also presented evidence attacking the credibility of the alleged victim. But I will tell you this. If they can attack the credibility of the victim, they can do the same thing by way of the credibility of the defendant. I got a question. Has anybody asked the question, did Kobe Bryant wear a condom that night? Anybody know? I don't know. If he didn't, that's one hell of a statement. That's one hell of a statement. See, what's good about this, for me, I don't give a crap whether he's guilty of rape or not, personally. I hope that if he is, he goes up the river for the rest of his born days. What do you think of that? And if he's innocent, sure, walk. Fact is, you're married, got a child, 5-minute sexual liaison with a woman without a condom. Boy, he must hate his wife. He must hate her guts. And that $40 million, what the hell was that? $4 million pinky ring, baby. That don't mean a thing. Like I said, Vanessa, get out while the getting's good. The guy had sex with another woman, consensual, he says, and he didn't even stop to put on a condom. That's what he thinks of you. What do you think of that? If I were you, I'd go to bed with just dreams of flowers and rose petals in my head.
Gee, what a guy.
All right, 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
All right, I'm going to do our football wrap-up from yesterday. Yesterday was the 19th, right? And I don't know whether or not we're going to have Bud Dickman's rad accidents in NASCAR this week or not. We've got them? Okay. I've just been informed we have them. Because I didn't know whether we were going to be able to find the website because Chris isn't here. He's off celebrating his, I don't know what it is, 3-month anniversary with his wife. Chris is off every, like, month.
Hey, can I have, like, a day off, Phil? What for? Oh, it's like the 6-month anniversary of my marriage.
Yeah, okay. Jesus. All right. 6 months.
Hey, can I have
all right, go ahead. Take the whole year off. So Chris is in Vegas right now. I don't know what website he goes to. But we do have our NFL wrap-up from yesterday. And what a day it was for Joe Dickhead. Wow, he went 10-3. And one of the big bolder statements he made yesterday, or on Friday, I should say, on our show, is he got Cincy over Baltimore, and he was right. Cincy beats Baltimore 34-26. John Kitna is doing the job there. Baltimore is done. And certainly Marvin Lewis, the new head coach, guy's fantastic. He was the Baltimore defensive coordinator when they won the Super Bowl. So we all know which side of the bread the butter's on there. Dallas over Detroit, 38-7. The Cowboys, solid. Wow, man. I mean, what is it with the, you know, what does that tell you about the last coach they had? What was his name? Dave Campos or Dave Compost? Anyway, he was lousy. If Tuna can come in there and turn it around on a dime like that, and with Quincy Carter. But nobody knows what I'm talking about. All right. Moving along, Minnesota over Denver, 28-20. We picked that one. Or I should say, Joe did. Green Bay at St. Louis. He liked Green Bay in that game. St. Louis actually won that football game. That's why I said St. Louis over Green Bay. New England beat Miami in OT on a big, gorgeous strike of a pass from Brady to some dude. I forget his name. It was a hell of a football game, though. And the referee screwed up the coin toss in overtime, I understand. It's like they flipped it, and then he picked it at, like it landed heads, and he picks it up. Oh, you mean tails? And he flips it over the other side. So the New England Patriots almost had to take him out and shoot him. Then it was New Orleans over Atlanta, which Joe Dickhead had. Philly over the Giants. Joe Dickhead picked that one. And somehow San Diego beat Cleveland. I'm still amazed at how that happened. How the San Diego Chargers were able to get by Cleveland is one of the... I think Mother Teresa, that's the miracle she's going to need to become a saint. You know, they're beatifying Mother Teresa. You know what that means when you're beatified? It means they take a big stick and they just pound you over the head. No, it means that you're now like level 6 to become a saint. See, Mother Teresa was wonderful to kids, wonderful to old people, wonderful to sick people. But that's not enough to be a saint in the Catholic Church. You also have to know how to fly or something. You got to make pigeons fly out of somebody's ass. I don't know what it is. So that's your miracle, Mother Teresa. San Diego beats Cleveland. Well, guess what, Schottenheimer? The game still passes you by. Tennessee over Carolina. We picked that one. The Jets over Houston. We had that one. Nice going there at the end of the ball game. Good defensive stand after your special teams look like crap, Jets. Chicago loses to Seattle. Joe Dickhead had that game. And in the big one of the day, the truly amazing game of the day, I think all of the crap we're laying on Warren Sapp is beginning to have an effect. Warren, get your head back in the game. Remember, I'm just a small potatoes talk show host. I can't hurt you, Warren. Are you thinking about all the stuff I'm giving you, man? San Francisco 24, Tampa Bay 7. Ouch! Ow, that hurts. Buffalo 24, Washington 7, and tonight, don't worry about it, KC at Oakland, it ought to be a bloodbath, it ought to be a good game, but KC should prevail. 1-800-449-8686. By the way, if anybody wants to know, there's a World Series going on, too. I don't know who's in it, but...
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. This is the Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
And Bobby Dooley with the Western Estates Parent Teacher Organization. Glad to have Ms. Dooley on. Today you have more of a question than a statement, right, concerning parents and kids?
Well, Phil, I do, and the question really is this. What makes people so weak that they get addicted to these prescription painkillers? Why are people so weak and really so low in morals? Steve and I were driving home from Two Bunch Palms, which is a spa that we enjoy and that we frequent. And if you saw the movie The Player, it's in that film. And I turned to him because we were hearing so much about these prescription drugs. And I just looked at him and I said...
Well, these are prescription painkillers like... Percocet,
like Vicodin, like OxyContin, like a lot of these things. And I looked at my husband and I said, you know, there is so much weakness in the world. And where we live in our community, Western Estates, it made me want to know how many of them are weak people. And really, I guess, Phil, the question that I have more than anything else in your show today is, how many weak individuals of low morality who can't, as my husband likes to say and my son says, suck it up how many of them are out there? And
well, Bobby, a lot of people get addicted because they had to take the medicine for pain. This is a pain medication.
Oh, no, I know that.
All right, and it's for terrible pain. And they get hooked. I mean, the history of the world is replete with people who had war wounds, for instance. Our guys were put on morphine, became heroin addicts.
You know, Phil, what that is hard for me to understand, though, is what I'm trying to say, is because I guess Steve and I'm speaking for my husband and I, we're so much above that kind of weakness. We are not weak people in the...
Wait. If you had terrible pain, wouldn't you want to take pain medication?
You know, Phil, I play tennis. Steve and I both golf. We use the Sea-Doos. We've had sports injuries. And I have never needed more than a couple of aspirin.
No, I'm talking about if you had a torn muscle.
Yeah, no, I've never needed more than a couple of aspirin. You know what it is more than anything else? I really think it's a question of character. I think people who need these kinds of pain medications, it's a question of character.
If someone has horrible pain from a back surgery and they need pain medication...
I think, Phil, that these people are angling for your sympathy. I don't believe for a minute that they need so much that they get addicted. I don't believe for a minute that the pain they have can't be taken care of with over-the-counter drugs. You know,
you're talking about serious back pain.
Yes. I mean, there are times when Steve and I will be... I was sitting with Steve in a restaurant. We were in Laguna Beach, and I looked at him, and I said, do you know how strong we are compared to other people? We look around ourselves, and, you know, there are people of incredible weakness. And I wanted to say to him, I love you so much because we're alone. Steve and I feel so alone that we are so strong, and there are so many weaklings around us. And the incredible weakness of taking Vicodin and OxyContin. And, of course, the excuse is always pain. Oh, I'm in pain.
All right, Bobby Dooley is with us, along with Steve Dooley from the Western States Parent Teacher Organization, talking about people of low morality. Low morality need pain medication. You say you don't need painkillers, just aspirin?
Well, mostly because Steve and I have more character. So, look, sometimes we feel as if we're cut off from the world. It really is.
Are you saying that you and your husband feel lonely? Because all you need is a couple of aspirin, and everybody else needs pain medication.
Sometimes, yes. We do feel as if we live in a place that we don't recognize. I mean, the way it sickens me that people don't have the willpower that Steve and I have. And that's really what I tried to get through to a very dear friend of ours, Janice Greeley, and I'd like to tell her story.
All right, hold on for a minute. I want to give our number out. Steve and Bobby Dooley about pain medication, OxyContin, Vicodin, Percocet. The list goes on. These are narcotic analgesics, and people who get hooked on them, according to Ms. Dooley, are people of low morality, low character, or people who need them, even. You're not even talking about addiction, are you?
I'm sorry, Phil?
You're not even talking about being addicted. You're just saying anybody that takes them?
Well, I don't know the difference. I mean, if you need to take this stuff, you obviously have some crazy need for this stuff. I just think that, yeah, I think anybody that needs to take this stuff is really pathetic. And no one can have the pain that bad. I mean, I have it, so why would they?
All right, 1-800-449-8686 is the number here on the Phil Hendry Show with Bobby and Steve Dooley from the Western Estates Parent Teacher Organization. 1-800-449-8686. Your friend, Janice Greeley, she's a member of the community?
Yes, she is, Phil. And we have a phone tree, if that's what you're referring to.
Well, all I know is there was a complaint made. I had a phone call from a friend of hers.
Yeah, well, no, she's a friend of mine. Janice is a very good friend of mine. Anyway, she's been taking, and I looked it up, Emprocet and Lorazep. These are two narcotic addictive drugs. And I wanted to see what was in her medicine cabinet. I went over to her house, because I knew she'd had surgery, and I found these narcotic analgesics, as you were saying, Emprocet and Lorazep, and I said to her, you know what, I am so disgusted with you. It was the ending of a friendship. We had babysat each other's babies. We had walked in the park with our children together. We had given each other's children's rides to school. We'd carpooled together. And I looked in her medicine cabinet, and I found Emprosec, and Vicodin. And I said to her, you know, I am so disgusted with you. Your weakness is such that we can't have any communication while you are weak. And I, you know, I just felt...
Well, why is Emprosec and Lauren, why is your friend taking this kind of medicine?
She had stomach cancer, and they've been able to cut it out. So I,
well, wait, stomach cancer? My God, Ms. Dooley, is incredibly painful.
No, hold on for a minute, Phil, because you don't know what you're talking about. The cancer was gone. They cut it out.
But the woman needs this.
Phil, once again, you and other members of the liberal media playing into the weakness of these human beings who at the first little problem go running for their medicine cabinet, the first little problem go running for their pain pills, at the first little problem. Steve and I really feel that we are in trouble, we're in danger, because if the world is filled with weak people like this, what chance do Steve and I have? And I cannot be friends with someone who is so shallow and weak that they would need pain pills.
You see no case, no instance in life when someone's pain would be so bad that they would need these pain pills.
I think in that case they should be hospitalized. If their pain is so bad, they obviously need to be knocked out. They need to be put under.
I mean, haven't you heard people talking about...
No, I'm managing general pain. Fine, let them manage their general pain. But no friend of mine. I'm not going to let any dear friend of mine become a weakling, become, you know, what did you say, Steve?
Effeminized.
Please watch that word, sir.
I'm sorry, Phil. I think that we have a little more character and morality than to have to take pain medicine and then show the entire world that we are just absolutely without any moral fiber. And
all right, Ms. Dooley, our number 1-800-449-8686. Bobby and Steve, hang on. They're with the Western States Parent Teacher Organization. They're talking about pain medicine and how you got to be weak and of low character and low morals to need it. We're talking Vicodin, we're talking Percocet, we're talking OxyContin, we're talking Emprosec, Lyricet. I mean, the list of narcotic analgesics goes on and on and on, and there's a lot of people in this country, in my opinion, who need it. 1-800-449-8686, and we'll be right back on the Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Building sandcastles in your mind. Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Steve and Bobby Dooley, the Western States Parent Teacher Organization, and I understand you're at a fitness center right now?
Yes, there we are. The reason why I think this is, I wanted to mention this to you, is because we do work out. Steve and I both use the treadmill, we use the Stairmaster, I do some weight training. I can assure you that getting down, as Steve has, he was at 190 and he's gotten down to 175, really, really took a lot of pain. And Steve's going to, hold on for a minute, Phil. This is the pain involved in weightlifting. Hold on. Oh! That was...
What was that?
That was a clean and jerk. I'm here to tell everybody, get off your pity pot. And quit your crying. Oh, I have cancer. Oh, I have this. Oh, I have that. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. It's really, 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 really disgusting. Steve and I don't need it. Steve and I are trying to form a new life away from the people that have constantly bothered us. Steve and I think, know that pain medication is for the weak.
All right, well, pain medication certainly in the news. We'll take another phone call here, 1-800-449-8686. Bobby and Steve Dooley talking to us from the Western States Parent Teacher Organization. Amanda is on with us. Amanda, hello. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hi.
Hi, Amanda.
The reason I am calling, because of all these jokesters calling in saying that pain medicine is not needed. First of all, I was in the Army, and I had a jump. I was an airborne soldier.
You had a jump?
I jumped, and I broke both of my femurs, broke my tailbone in three different places. And I don't think
that's what
the pain
about.
Alone that I could have survived that. I was in excruciating pain. And for those people to say that I was weak, first of all, I defended your sorry country. No, I'm sorry, not sorry country. Your sorry butt.
My sorry country.
And I went through all this training and did all of this for you, and you're telling me that I'm weak?
What about
you
that?
You go jump out of an airplane.
What about that, Ms. Dooley?
Well, first of all, Amanda, I think that you purposefully go and jump out of an airplane. You crack your... I mean, this is weakness defined. To do what you did just so you could get drugs, in my opinion...
Wait, she didn't go out and purposefully crack her femur.
Well, why in the name of God is she jumping out of it? If you trained hard, you wouldn't have hurt yourself. That's number one. My husband and I both believe that the world right now... You're in the Army. You understand that there's weakness. Amanda, are you there?
Yes.
Are you listening to your radio?
Yes, I am.
Okay, you're not supposed to do that. That's what the man told me when I called in.
Yep. I'll do it. You're not supposed to have your radio turned up, Amanda.
Okay.
Well, okay. I was trying to help because she couldn't understand.
I understand. I understand.
You saying that
I'm saying, Amanda,
weakness?
No, you jumped out of that airplane. That was, on some level, a desire to be on pain medicine, to be injured. To purposefully, you may think it's funny, but look what happened.
It's because this is the training that we go through to go overseas and defend people like you. This is something that we do to defend our country.
Right,
so don't tell me that it is a weakness and that I want to get hurt, because you know what? My husband is in Iraq for the next year, and I am raising our two children, one and two, by ourselves. So don't tell me that it's any type of weakness, because I'm stronger than you will probably ever be.
Well, let me ask you a question. Did you wear a parachute?
Of course I did.
Well, judging by your injuries, it doesn't sound like it. Did she wear a parachute?
Of course she wore a parachute.
No,
I don't understand. I saw the movie where the man jumped out. I don't know. It was a James Bond movie. Anyway, Amanda, you went overseas to get yourself hopped up on drugs and get away from your children. That's what some people may think.
You said you watched a James Bond movie, sweetheart. You need to get out in front of the TV and get into real life.
There was a James Bond movie where he bungee corded off of a dam. And there were no broken femurs.
Well, that's a movie.
Thank you.
All right, Amanda, thank you for your call. 1-800. She's in our military, too, defending our country.
You know something, Phil? I get really tired of these people. We don't need weaklings like this young lady in our military.
The lady cracked it. Come on, get real, will
you? Well, you asked me to get real. Steve and I are wondering, where is the place for us? You know, there's a lovely song, Phil, and I forget the movie. I think it was in Willy Wonka, and it went, "There's a place for us. Somewhere a place for us. Peace and let you know."
West Side Story.
Yes, yes. That's how Steve and I feel. Where is our place away from the weakness? And I fell off of a Sea-Doo going 40 miles an hour, and I didn't need a damn thing. So don't talk to me about jumping out of airplanes. Oh, God. I want to use the S word.
Well, don't. 1-800-449-8686. Matt, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hello?
Yes, sir. You're on the air.
This woman is totally stupid. I'd like to know what happened to her when she fell off the Sea-Doo.
What's that?
What happened to you when you fell off the Sea-Doo?
The Sea-Doo?
Were you hurt?
Was I what?
What happened to you, ignorant, when you fell off the Sea-Doo at 40 miles an hour?
I don't understand what he's saying.
What happened to you when you fell off the Sea-Doo at 40 miles an hour?
I fell in the water. What are you guys...
What, did you get hurt?
Yeah.
No,
Of course I didn't,
Well,
Matt.
You're an ignorant person.
I train.
You know,
I train, Matt, so I know what I'm doing.
You're a real ignorant person.
Why? Because I'm stronger than you?
My privacy is stronger than you and your husband. I could whip both of you with this.
Well, I don't
think you're a weak, ignorant person.
No, I don't need Percocet.
You're
and
going
I'm not
to...
sitting in a trailer in a wheelchair like you probably are.
Yes, well, I am, but listen to me, Witty. Mm-hmm. Listen, Witty.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to reap what you're sowing, and I'm angry at you. I just found the station a while ago. I'm regretting finding it because you ticked me off so bad.
You know something, Matt? When you call up a talk show, know what you're talking about.
I do know, I know that you're very ignorant.
I'm very strong. Steve,
you're very weak.
We're looking for a place to be, a place where people know are like us.
What do you mean a place where... 1-800-449-8686.
How many sleeping pills is that man on? That's what I'd like to know.
All right, let's go over to Ruth. Ruth, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Hi.
Hi.
How are you?
Fine, ma'am.
Thanks for taking my call. I think Ms. Dudley has a major problem with herself.
Mm-hmm.
No, but she needs to figure out how compassionate she could be towards her friend who has cancer, and she was snooping around in her medicine cabinet, you know, to see what kind of drug she was taking.
I had to
Dudley, obviously, never had physical pain that she's had to deal with on a regular basis. You know,
got the cancer out.
My friends have fibromyalgia.
What is that?
They are constantly in pain. Their entire body shuts down on them, and they have chronic pain.
Oh, you know what that is, Phil? That's one of those diseases that people make up so they can get more pain medicine.
No, that's so not it at all.
Well,
that's not it at all because
goodness.
I'm the person who has this problem. She doesn't take pain medication, but she certainly deserves some because
she doesn't need
a cure for what she has.
She
obviously, you know what you need to do. You need to find out.
Junkies.
Huh? Am I
my no? My husband said that he feels many of you people are like junkies. I mean, how many bottles of this stuff do you have in your medicine cabinet, Ruth?
Let me tell you, Miss Dudley, I have none in my medicine cabinet.
Oh.
I had a cesarean section my last child. You know what I got for pain? You know what I asked for pain? Because I had a slight headache after it was all over with.
Mm-hmm.
I took two Tylenol. Two
a slight
Tylenol.
Headache. I
got
don't need...
no morphine. I got no anything else. I had no Cerebral. I had a cesarean section that cut me open to get my baby. But let me tell you something, Miss Dudley.
I've never had to
have
that.
You think that you're strong, but you are not strong at all.
Can
you
I
are
ask you
very,
a question?
Very weak.
Have you ever
Otherwise,
had tennis elbow?
You would be more compassionate.
Have you ever had tennis elbow? No. You don't know.
Oh, what's tennis elbow?
You don't know.
Tennis elbow ain't nothing.
The Phil Henry Show is back.
Bobby Dooley, Steve Dooley, they're a married couple. They are with the Western Estates Parent Teacher Organization. They believe that people who take pain medication are people who are weak. And you and Mr. Dooley have both made the point to me, Bobby, that you feel the two of you are alone in this, that there must be a place where stronger people live. I have to ask you this question.
Phil, you know, the reason...
No, I have to ask you this one question. What's the worst pain you've ever had, and what did you do about it?
You know what, Phil? I don't want to answer that question. It's very personal.
Well, no. What is the worst pain you ever had?
If you want me to answer it, I will tell you. It was after a very strenuous weekend of sex.
A strenuous weekend of sex?
Yes, with my husband. And that was... There was some chafing and there was some burning, and I took a Tylenol PM.
That's the worst pain you've ever had.
That is the worst pain I've ever had. I have had tennis elbow. I have fallen on the court. I've skidded on clay courts going after a backhand shot. Let me tell you something. I have had some pretty serious injury in that regard. when we were in Cancun. I was boogie boarding with our boys and took a pretty good spill, so I know what I'm talking about. And my friend Janice, who has had stomach cancer, and I understand that, but they cut it all out, the doctor told me. For her to lay around as my friend and have Emperset in her medicine cabinet, no friend of mine has Emperset. No friend of mine takes pain medication. I'm so thoroughly disgusted with her that I feel like going over to her house and opening up her blouse and seeing where the sutures are from her recent surgery and just smacking it and showing her there. If you can take that, you can take anything.
You want to smack the woman who has gone through stomach cancer surgery right on her scar.
I want to show her. You know something? I even considered taking her medication away so she wouldn't become a junkie. I can still do that.
Don't, I would not recommend it.
I can still...
I wouldn't recommend it. Somebody who's under a lot of pain, they need that. You can't do that.
What's the most pain you were ever in?
The most pain I was ever in?
Yes.
I had 4 impacted wisdom teeth taken out, and...
Oh, my God. What a baby. What a child, Phil. And
wait a second. You ever had 4 impacted wisdom teeth taken out of your head? It's pretty...
4 impacted wisdom teeth. Oh, my sweet Jesus on high. I think, really, that's what I'm that's what Steve and I are talking about. We're talking about founding a new colony, a new... really, a new America, where the people are strong. There are workout centers, a place where we can be happy.
1-800-449-8686. Here is Margaret on the Phil Henry Show. Hello, Margaret.
Hello.
Yes, ma'am.
Well, first of all, and
mm-hmm.
I say this facetiously, Bill,
mm-hmm.
I can't believe that you are have this woman on because she's insane.
We wanted to get...
Excuse me, but I think I know a little bit about it.
You don't know anything about it. Now,
well,
you've talked so much
are
about
you weak?
Your trip to Cancun. Why don't you let me talk? I am 70
are you jealous?
Years old.
Are you jealous?
10 minutes ago,
mm-hmm.
I took a Vicodin because
well,
I've torn my cornea.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. Have you ever torn your cornea?
No, I'm a little more careful.
Well, then you
I'm a little more careful than you. I'm a little more careful than you.
Well, you're a little more careful than
yes.
me.
Yes. I'm not bumping
I
in
bent over and I hit a box.
You bent
what a
over
stupid
and hit a,
thing to say.
You bent over
Let
and hit a
Let me tell you
box.
Something. When I was 31 years old,
over,
I had a cerebral hemorrhage. But this woman
mm-hmm.
doesn't want to let
Listen,
anyone
listen
talk
to this lady talk. Listen to Margaret. Then you'll have your say.
She bent over and hit a box.
Just let her talk. Go ahead, Margaret.
When I was 31, I had a cerebral hemorrhage. The pain was so excruciating. I was on medication, Demerol,
mm-hmm.
Librium,
mm-hmm.
Codeine,
mm-hmm.
for a year.
Why?
And then came the day when mm-hmm. I didn't have these unbelievable headaches anymore that sent me to the hospital, New York Hospital,
mm-hmm.
in New York, a very upstanding
mm-hmm.
hospital.
Mm-hmm.
They used to give me shots of Demerol. It was
mm-hmm.
so bad.
Mm-hmm.
And when I didn't need it, after
mm-hmm.
about a year,
mm-hmm.
I said, I don't need this anymore, and I never took it again.
Mm-hmm.
There
right.
are plenty of people who
mm-hmm.
take these kind of painkillers.
Mm-hmm.
I certainly don't agree with mm-hmm. drug addicts.
All right, Margaret, thank you. Bobby, what do you say?
Well, I want to ask the lady, how long have you been hopped up on this stuff?
I have hopped up on what, Vicodin?
Well, you've been hopped up since when? Since you were young?
Never.
You said you've been taking
Listen
this stuff.
To me, sweet lady.
Look, I'm surprised you can even remember
you
what you had for
sweet
breakfast.
Jesus.
Well, what are all
you
these drugs
what?
You're taking?
Jesus would be ashamed of someone
well,
like you.
I think that Mr. Henry saying, oh, a toothache, oh, my God.
Have you ever had an impacted wisdom tooth? I have.
You know something?
You apparently have.
Taking,
you have apparently been a very, very fortunate person.
I'm very strong, Margaret. I'm
well,
very
no,
strong.
You've been fortunate,
and
my dear. Have you ever taken care of a 190-pound man who had a stroke and couldn't walk and talk and lift him in and out of bed when you were 65 years
well,
old?
Well, why would I?
I have. For 10 years, I did that.
I'm in the
and
now.
And I took
I
no
don't
drugs to do that.
Why would
could
I want to take
do
care?
That?
Well, why would I want to take care of a 190-pound man?
Well, because he might be your husband.
Oh, no, I wouldn't
and
be married.
And you didn't
married.
Want to put him in a nursing home?
Well, I wouldn't be married to someone like that.
You what would you do with him?
Throw well, him I wouldn't be married to him.
Well, you'd divorce him when he had the stroke?
No, Steve is going to be very healthy.
Wait a minute, are you
so.
Just denying reality
From your
here?
Your mouth to God's ears because you're going to need it, sweetheart.
Look, and Margaret, by the way, Jesus never took painkillers.
How
oh,
do you know?
Got you on
Have
that
you
one.
Spoken to him?
Got you on that one.
Oh, my God.
Excuse
How
me?
Do you know?
They did not have Emperset in the year zero. Good Lord.
Well, they didn't have Empaset either, and I never took any painkillers while I took care of this man for 10 years.
You said you were hopped up on something. And
she never said she was hopped up on anything.
I told you I took Vicodin 10 or 15 minutes ago.
You bent over and purposely hit your eye on a nail or something?
Oh, my God. This lady
Margaret,
is a definite mental case.
No, so I need to make this point.
If you have five people to go with you to this new colony you're creating, it'll be a miracle.
I want to ask a question, Phyllis. Jesus was nailed to a cross, and he didn't take any painkiller.
But then, my
and this
dear,
woman,
Jesus was God, and you are not God, and I am not God.
Oh, so it didn't hurt?
It doesn't matter. He was God.
Well,
nothing
it hurt him.
Him.
And you hit your eye, and you get a little boo-boo, and you go, oh, I need
a little boo-boo?
Oh. You know, you took so much Vicodin, you don't remember this call. You won't remember this call
my
tomorrow morning.
My dear lady, I took the Vicodin
right.
15 minutes ago. It doesn't even take effect for another 15 minutes.
Well, what are you taking it for? For kicks? Why are you taking it?
For what?
For kicks? Why are you taking it?
What kind of kicks are you talking about? Bugs?
No, kicks. Are you doing it for joy? Is it a joy pop?
I'm 70 and a half years old.
Oh, so you're taking it because you're
gotta
old.
You've got to be kidding. I don't do drugs.
Well, you took a Vicodin.
All right,
I hope
look,
that
okay.
you're as good in good shape as me when you're 70, my dear.
I hope not, because you don't sound well. Take another one.
All right, listen, thank you, Margaret. 1-800-449-8686.
You see what I'm saying, Phil? She's old and tired. Steve and I are young and strong. We're looking for a new way. And really what we want is a colony of people who are like us, who lift, use sea-doos, play tennis, and can discuss, you know, shark fin soup and great places to stay in on Long Island, things like that.
Well, that sounds like a real progressive place.
You know, I know you're being facetious.
No, I think you are. What do you mean you want to live in a colony of strong people who can discuss shark fin soup? Here is Sydney. Hold on for a minute, Sydney. Let's go over here to James. Go ahead, James.
Sounds like Hitler.
Mm-hmm.
She wants
mm-hmm.
to make them, make her special place just like Hitler. Lady, have you ever had your
Hitler?
Knee stretched apart so they could do surgery on it?
Oh, here we go. Another guy that wasn't careful, and now I'm supposed to feel sorry for you.
Okay.
What'd you do?
Do you have two forms of scoliosis in your back that will then degenerate for the rest of your life?
Well, what did you do to get that?
What did I do? I was born with it.
Well,
scoliosis is a genetic
well,
thing.
Well, then God's doing, he's telling you something.
And you know what?
Well, what's he telling
it?
Him? You better not take pain medicine?
I would think that the good Lord would not want us hopped up. Jesus took four nails, and he didn't say a peep.
I
you know, it's...
I just think you're a self-righteous, rich blank.
You know why I think you're born
you're
with...
better. You think you're better than all the rest of us.
Well, you know why you were born with scoliosis. Your mother was on meds when she was pregnant.
Excuse me, but my mother never took a drug in her life.
No, she's probably taking Percocet or something.
She takes. No, my mother doesn't take anything because she can't afford it.
Well, do you? Oh, well, wouldn't you like to go out and get a job and help her maybe pay for things?
You know what? She can't go out and get a job.
No, you go out and get a job.
Excuse me, lady. I make anywhere from $50,000 to $80,000 a year.
Well, then why don't you give some of that to your mother?
Oh. Wait, are you suggesting that I pay for her drugs?
I'm suggesting what you do is quit using that hunchback as an excuse. Get out and...
He didn't say he was a hunchback.
Well, he said he had some kind of a twisted-up situation.
Yeah. Yes, I have scoliosis in my back, and it's only going to get worse the rest
of my
life.
Does your mother like vodka?
Huh?
Have you tried vodka?
Vodka?
Yes.
Now you're suggesting I become an alcoholic?
If I were you, I would, yeah.
You know what, lady?
You know, man, it's...
What? All I said was, if I had to look in the mirror...
Look, you know what?
Look,
I am a recovering alcoholic.
Look,
don't change the pain.
Look, Quasimodo... What I'm saying...
All right, look, have some freaking respect over here for this guy. What do you mean, Quasimodo?
When I was in high school,
maybe
I blew my...
You blew who?
All right, listen.
In 5 years, you look like the Pope. Jesus.
1-800-449-8686. Bobby and Steve Dooley have joined us to find out about... where they can go to start a colony of people like them who are strong, not weak like all these people that have to take pain medicine. We'll be back. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
1-800-449-8686. The world famous Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
1-800-449-8686. Bobby and Steve Dooley with us here, and we're talking about this need for pain medication. People are, you've heard the stories, Ms. Dooley, you know, and...
Phil, listen, I know people have pain. I've had pain. I mentioned tennis. You know, you seem to think my tennis elbow is that...
Well, that's not the same as stomach cancer.
Look, Phil, Janice is a very good friend of ours. She's laying around. They cut this. She's using this stomach cancer as an excuse to lay there and pop her pills and become, you know, what do they say? To
get all hopped up.
To get hopped and to be hopped up. But I'll tell you something that I do and Steve does. Every time I hear one of these people, that we call these gloomy Lulus. Steve does a trick. If you do the trick, he lights a match and he passes his hand over it. Okay. So, in other words, you know...
Well, I mean, everybody does that.
Excuse me. That is a demonstration of how to deal with pain, not these people who are disgusting. I just want to find a place where Steve and I can be... I feel so alone. I feel...
Because you're strong, and other people are weak, and other people need pain medicine. And I had a sister with scoliosis. She needed pain medicine.
Well, Phil, I'm sorry if your family's weak. I'm really sorry.
1-800-449-8686. Here's Sydney. Sydney, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Hi. How are you?
Yes, ma'am. Good.
Mm-hmm. Hello, Mrs. Dooley.
Yes, I'm fine. How are you?
I wish I could be better.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm calling, obviously, because I'm enraged like everybody else.
I do not want you to be enraged. I want you to be empowered. Being hopped up on
Let the lady speak, please.
She's hopped up.
How do you know?
Well, I'm assuming that you're a drug taker.
You just assume.
So you're not?
You're not even going to let me talk, are you?
Well, go ahead, but please be... Please
you just made a big ass out of yourself. You're just assuming everything.
Do you take pain medicine or not, yes or no?
Yes, I have fibromyalgia stage 2.
See, I told you.
Yeah, and I will be on this pain medication.
I told you.
And I will, but you know
good
what?
Good for you. You told her.
She told her. Well, yeah, but the lady lied. Said she wasn't.
No, she didn't. Go ahead, Sydney. You have what?
I have been on this medication
yeah.
for 3 years. I will be on it for the rest of my life. And you know what? I could trade places with her any day.
What do you have, Sydney?
I have fibromyalgia, stage 2. I have compressive neuropathy. I will lose the use of my hand.
What is that? I don't know what that is.
Compressive neuropathy means I will no longer have the use of my hand.
You'll no longer have the use of your what?
My hands. I also have a synovial cyst on my spine. Okay, I have a 2-year-old and a 4-year-old.
Well, what is all of that? I don't understand. Can't you just get out and get some good herbal medicines, some tea?
Yes, I've tried herbal medicine, and I've tried tea, and I've tried acupressure and acupuncture, and I've tried...
Do you exercise?
Yes, I do.
You jog?
Yes, I do.
Do you do push-ups?
That's no, I cannot.
Joke. I'm sorry,
Why would you joke about that? She said she can't use her hands.
I'm having some fun.
Thank you. Having fun at my expense.
No,
I appreciate that.
Humor is a very healing thing.
Can you do push-ups?
No, I cannot.
What about chin-ups? I'm joking.
No.
Look, Sydney, honey, I think you're going to be fine. You know why?
Why?
I want you to get off that pain medicine. We're looking for people who can join us in a new society where we can...
Well, can we talk about the world we're living in? Not some freaking utopia that you and Steve want to create where everybody's lifting weights and doing chin-ups and talking about shark fin soup.
You know something? Why don't you and your... Sydney, I got an idea for you.
Okay.
Because you can't use your hands doesn't mean anything bad. You can just hang them at your side. And if someone wants to shake your hand, just say... I'm tired.
Jesus. All right.
I'm sorry. I have to laugh because they're absolutely ridiculous.
Why don't you and your stumpy hands do a little bicep action?
I wish I could.
All right. Listen, Sydney, the best of luck to you.
Thank you.
But why are you taking that medicine?
Yeah, I told you why.
I have fibromyalgia, stage 2. I have chronic pain, 24/7.
What's Bob Dole have?
He's got war injury.
Where do you get that?
He's got war injury.
Hope to God, can I say something?
Mm-hmm.
I hope to God you never, ever have any kind of chronic pain or any kind of cancer that your blessed friend has. And
you know, I tell you this much. I did contract gonorrhea as a young woman, and I'm not proud of it. But I don't know if you've ever sat down to have a pee, and it feels as if you're passing napalm.
No.
Now, that is pain.
No, and I'm sorry.
You had
that
gonorrhea as a young woman, huh?
Yes, I did. I fell in with the wrong crowd.
All right, look, I got to run here, Sydney. Thank you for your call.
Thank
and the very best to you, and I hope you feel better.
You hope she feels better.
Well, I didn't.
Jesus. Yeah, Sydney, I hope you will get over that polio real soon.
Here is Jen. Hi, Jen.
Hi.
Hi. Hi.
She's looking for a utopian society. She has better luck waiting on her front porch and waiting for a UFO to beam her up.
Well, I know there has to be a society where all of
you
pill poppers don't exist and I can be free.
Ma'am, can I have my say real quick?
Go ahead.
Phil, I have to agree with you. In July, I just had my 4 impacted wisdom teeth removed. And when you have sutures in your mouth, when you're... face
it's
is inflamed.
Yeah, your face looks like a chipmunk.
You look like a chipmunk.
You know what, ma'am?
I was not high when I was on them.
I didn't get any enjoyment out of it.
Yeah.
Even on the pain medication,
well,
I still felt like crack.
Well, you were on crack?
No.
The Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Talk Radio's Prodigal Son. Now, Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
So I'm talking with Bob Green about Mike. So my daughter had these magazine subscriptions that she's selling.
Well, Phil, I've got the same situation in my house. My daughter is selling magazine subscriptions to win a prize.
What do the kids get?
I think the number one seller gets a trip to Universal Studios. And these magazine subscriptions, which my kid does every year at her school, it's her middle school.
A lot of schools do these, don't they?
That's my understanding. I don't know, but I expect my employees when I come in with a lot of the forms that my daughter brings home, and she says, "Daddy, will you have the people at your work sign these?" And I said, "Of course I will, darling." And I bring them in, and I certainly do expect my employees to order magazines.
All right, now when you say you expect your employees to order magazines, what does that mean? Because it sounds like it's a little bit of a...
It means what it means. In other words, this is once a year for my daughter, who I love very much, who is the apple of my eye, if you will. I expect her to, I hope, someday take over our business here. And I expect my employees to... to buy some magazines. It's no different from when my daughter was selling the candy bars for Girl Scouts or the Girl Scout cookies, these kinds of things.
You can't, I mean, all right. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with it. I know that my daughter has asked me. I'd rather not bring it into the office.
I do bring it into the office because, as I said, I don't want to argue with you, Phil, but I love my daughter very much. And when she wants to have this, she's going to have it, and It's a price that my employees have to pay once a year. I want them to get the money out and buy magazines from my daughter, who is having a very difficult time. She's a beautiful little 14-year-old girl. Her mother is very religious. I don't want to get into that too much, but we have disagreed very much on the raising of my daughter. So when my daughter wants to sell magazine subscriptions to my employees, guess what?
Well, can I ask a question?
Sure.
All right. I'm an employee of yours. I work in the checkout stand or what have you.
Sure.
And what happens? Do you come to me?
Well, I'll make a store-wide announcement before we open up, and I'll say to all employees, we have the magazine subscription slips at the front counter.
Well, what if I say, no, I don't want to...
Look, okay, would you say no, you don't want to?
Yeah.
Here's the thing, Phil. As an employee of mine, I would say this to you, in other words.
Okay.
As an employee of mine, I would say there's a recession going on out there. There's a lot of people beating the bricks looking for jobs. You have one. Why are you saying no to my daughter, a 14-year-old girl, a girl who, and I'm sorry, I have to tell you, my daughter has an unwanted pregnancy at this time.
You're kidding.
No, and I don't think this is any shame. What I'm trying to do is cheer this girl up, because there's going to be some big decisions to be made. She's selling magazine subscriptions. I'd like you to get over there and sign one. I don't care what it's for. I don't care.
Well, wait.
See, you're giving me an argument. I don't understand that. My daughter is 14. I love her deeply. She's going to take over this business. She is pregnant. Her mother is devastated. The father apparently is of another race, and this is, there's nothing wrong with this, but this is a terribly traumatic thing for a girl of 14 to go to, and this trip to Universal would mean a lot to her. So my employees know this, and they'll buy magazine subscriptions, or, you know, I don't want to say they're fired. I never threaten a man with his job, but, boy, I'll tell you what, I'd hate to be those guys and have me be their boss.
All right, the only reason I'm saying this, Bob Green is with us, by the way, CEO of Fraser Foods. His daughter is getting magazine subscriptions together so she can win a trip to Universal. And I'm sorry, she's pregnant. When did you find out about this?
We found out about 3 weeks ago. It's not really anything I want to talk about. Like I said, the father is a non-white and not.
Well, there isn't.
No, there's nothing wrong with that, but. I don't know what you want me to say.
All right. I guess the reason why, and I'll give our number out, 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show here with Robert Green. A lot of people come to work with candy bars of this that their kids want to sell.
Right.
And a lot of people are selling for the United Way. There's a lot of strong-arming, I guess I would say, Bob, and I don't mean to say that that's what you're doing. There's a lot of strong-arming at the job, or a lot of people selling things for charity at the job, which I would be very happy to voluntarily buy. But when the boss is telling me I have to...
Look, here's the thing. I don't tell my employees they have to do anything. They don't even have to show up for work. I don't care. They don't show up for work. I fire them. I get somebody else. It doesn't matter to me what they do. They can go out the night before. They can drink. They can party. They get in an automobile accident. Do anything you want. You take the consequences. But when I come to work with magazine subscriptions for my daughter Cassidy, and you've met Cassidy.
Yes, I have. She's a nice kid.
Very, more than a nice kid. I worship the ground she walks on. No one says no to Bob Green when it comes to magazine subscriptions for that kid. Now, I don't know whether you heard me or not. And
Bob, you know, I don't want to get into an argument with you.
No, that's okay, but just, I don't know whether you heard me or not. She's pregnant. The father, my understanding, is a black guy.
All right, you don't need to whisper because we're on the air.
I understand that, but it's nothing that I...
Do you have a problem? Can I ask you something? Is this... she's 14 and she's pregnant.
That's right. That is a horrible thing for a child of 14 to go through.
All right. The father's a black guy. Is he around? I mean...
I don't know, but I can tell you, it's wherever he's been, at my home, he's not going to... come back. And the reason why, Phil, and I'm not prejudiced, but I am old-fashioned, and no blacks. I hire them, but not for my daughter.
I got to tell you something, man. You're going to have a hard time getting some sympathy for your daughter when you have...
Phil, I am not racially prejudiced. I just don't believe in interracial marriage, and certainly not for a 14-year-old girl.
Well, I would not agree that the 14-year-old girl ought to get married either, but you've got a multifaceted problem here. You have a...
No, I got no problem, Phil. My employees will buy magazines for my daughter, and then she...
All right, I'm sorry, Bob, and I know it's emotional for you.
If I could just take a moment.
Go ahead.
I give my employees the choice of paying cash, or I can take the money out of their paychecks to pay for the magazines, but they're going to subscribe for my little girl, Cassidy, who's 14 years old.
I'm sorry, Bob.
Who's carried the child of a, you know,
black guy.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Here is Mike. Mike, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Yeah, hi, Mr. Hendry.
Yes, sir.
I was listening to Mr. Green there, and like I told your screener, I don't know about California, but in Michigan, it's against law for an employer to require an employee to buy a good or service as a condition of his employment.
No, I'm not.
You know?
I'm not forcing them, but the understanding is clear. I mean, why would a guy not want to buy magazine subscriptions for a 14-year-old girl who's going through a tough time?
Well, I'm sure, let's say I was your employee, it wouldn't be my fault that your 14-year-old daughter is having a tough time. It sounds more like the parent has got some parenting problems, but, you know,
I don't understand. What's that supposed to mean?
Maybe you're not a good parent, Mr. Green.
Well, sir, you want to judge me, you go right ahead, but I run my business the way I want to run my business.
Well, you got a 14-year-old girl who's pregnant.
Wait. Why are you making my daughter the object of this?
Well, you're saying that your daughter deserves better, that your daughter is
My daughter is selling magazines, magazine subscriptions. Let me tell you how much I love my daughter. But have you got kids, Mike?
Yes, I do. I've got a son.
I'd commit homicide for my daughter. I would kill anything or anybody for my daughter. Well, I don't know why that's funny.
Well, Mr. Green, I can understand, I can sympathize with you, but I wouldn't exactly kill for my kids.
Okay, well, that's the difference between you and me.
All right, 1-800, all right, that's fine, Mike. 1-800-449-8686. Robert Green on the line with us, the CEO of Fraser Foods. We're talking with him about kids who bring magazine subscriptions, you know, home, and they want to sign up a lot of people for magazine subscriptions. He brings them to his place of business, and it sounds to me like he's compelling his employees to sign these, to order subscriptions. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. The last gasp before the death of radio. Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
All right, Robert Green with us from Fraser Foods. Mr. Green, when you talk about having your daughter's magazine subscriptions in your place of business and you're forcing people to buy these magazines, what you're basically saying is you're going to lose your job, right?
No, I don't think I'm saying you're going to lose your job, but the understanding is this. My daughter is going to inherit this business someday. So I think that makes her a special person. And as I said, she's pregnant. I have got to break the news to her that we're going to need to, you know, terminate the pregnancy. And
you're going to...
Yeah, I'm her father. I make that decision. So now I ask you, wouldn't you want to send a kid to Disneyland or to wherever the hell it is they're taking her? I forget. But,
you said Universal.
Yeah. Wouldn't you want to take her to Universal or something?
Why are you terminating this pregnancy, just out of curiosity?
I think I mentioned it to you already.
Because she's carrying a black guy's baby?
Let me put it this way. If you don't hear me say anything, then the answer is yes.
Because she's carrying a black guy's baby. Okay, so what is this? All the president's men?
Well, I don't want to...
1-800-449-8686. Here is Gloria. Gloria, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with Robert Green from Fraser Foods.
Hi, Mr. Green.
Yes,
I wanted to call you to tell you that I wish I worked for you. I wish you would make me buy one of your subscriptions, because the minute you fired me, I would sue your butt and own your company. And
no,
number two,
if you're so worried
about your daughter going to Universal Studios, take her yourself. And now you're going to kill this baby on top of being an ass. You're going to be a murderer?
Well, wait a minute, man.
Let me explain.
Did you hear me say it's a black guy?
Wait a minute.
Pig.
I don't care. It's a human being life.
Yes, exactly.
Mr. Green.
Mr. Green.
You are a pig. Your daughter doesn't deserve you.
Can I get a word in edgewise?
Go ahead.
First of all, I'd like to say that I'm not forcing anybody to buy magazine subscriptions. It's understood that they're expected to buy them.
Understood, expected to buy.
Number two, if you loved your kid, that you'd be getting people to buy magazine subscriptions from them, too. I love my kid.
I don't think so. Because the difference between a magazine subscription and somebody else's kid eating lunch at school, no.
Can I ask you a question?
No. Sure, absolutely.
You expect my daughter to take over this business as an unwed mother with one of these, you know, one of these chocolate squirrel babies.
What's a chocolate squirrel baby? Is that a half white?
Yes, sir. Now, those people have a hard life being, you know, with the mixed breed deal.
Nobody said you had to keep the baby.
Well, if she doesn't want it, who's going to take it?
Give that baby up for adoption.
You know, can we stop knocking the baby? This is not about the baby.
That's right.
You know,
it's exactly right. It's about the guy that she let,
No, it isn't either. It's about you being a moron.
What did I do? I didn't do anything other than I love my daughter.
This all started because you wanted your employee to buy a magazine subscription.
You know, and if you don't love your kid, that's your problem. I love my daughter.
I love my kid.
Yeah. Are you married to a black? Can I ask you, are you married to a black?
Mr. Green, are you a racist?
No, what difference does it make?
Are you a racist?
Why do you ask me that?
Well, is she married to a black and it's a black baby?
No, I'm saying it's tough in life to be married to one of them. This is why this lady's got a bad attitude.
She
has to come home to it every night.
Look it. Gloria, I thank you for your call.
All right.
And by the way, Gloria,
how can you talk to him?
You know something, lady?
How can you even talk to him?
It ain't a real person until it's breathing with its own lungs. I read that in a pamphlet.
Baloney.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Okay, thank
you're
you, Jesus.
You're wrong. You're
thank
a
you,
murderer.
Jesus. Thank you, Jesus
Give
Christ.
Me a break.
Nice meeting you.
I'm going to pray for you.
Yeah. Would you wake up feeling a little cross this morning? It's one of those Jesus. Yeah.
No. You know what? Every day above dirt.
You think you're Jesus?
Every
did you wake up feeling a little cross?
All right. I get the joke, man. It's an old one, and it happens every Easter.
He's pitiful.
What?
He's
Jesus
pitiful.
Woke up feeling a little cross this morning. All right, Gloria, thank you very much for your call.
All right, thank
no,
you.
No, you're pitiful. You
Bye.
Don't love your kids. You don't love your kids enough to send them to Universal. Hello?
I'm here, sir, and I want you to keep the racial comments to a minimum.
Mr. Henry, there's not a racist bone in my body. I employ a lot of them. I'm just saying that my daughter is going to have an abortion.
Yes, sir.
And I just love her very much.
I understand, sir. I think what the problem people are having is there's a compulsion to buy magazine subscriptions.
Well, I'll tell you what. If the American people are so cheap that they can't cough up five lousy bucks for a half a year subscription to Sports JC Illustrated, that they could all go straight to hell. Because this is for my daughter. And if she hadn't been going down, working at the mission, she wouldn't have met the...
All right, it's fine. It's fine, I understand. 1-800-449-8686. Let's go over to Charlene. Go ahead, you're on the Phil Henry Show, Charlene.
Hi.
Hi, Charlene.
Hi. Listen, for this guy, okay, the purpose of the children selling the magazines... so they can be confident, they can be more independent, and they can learn the ways of business. He says he wants his daughter to take over his business. How is she going to learn to be a business person when he's doing it for her?
You know how she learned, Charlene? Because I'm her father. I'm the CEO of the company, and I'll teach her the ropes.
So basically, you're not teaching her. So why don't you teach her now? Allow her to go in your neighborhood.
You go out.
Door to door. No, you're doing it for her.
Well,
you're doing it for her. Just allow her to go in the neighborhood, door to door, and sell the magazine.
No.
And you're saying that you're going to make your employees buy these magazines?
I'm not going to make my... That's small potatoes. That's not how you learn. My daughter's not going to be a grunt. She's going to be an executive. A grunt?
Okay, but she's going to be safe there. It's not because she earned the position. It's because she's your daughter.
No, it's because she's going to be very good.
That's
all
the
I
reason
want.
She's there.
Actually,
and
the
she may not know anything
another
about
thing,
the business,
the Brooklyn Dodgers,
but
and I really love
daughter,
the Cleveland Browns.
You're going
I think
to allow
the San Diego
her to run a business.
Them last night, 26-20.
What?
Well, she's babbling on. I thought I'd give some NFL scores.
Okay, so in other words, you're making fun of her.
No, but she won't let me talk.
Go ahead and say what you want to say.
First of all, you can't make fun of me because you're saying that your daughter,
me, they don't like
14,
me.
And she's pregnant.
Look, it can. All right.
It's
she's 14 and she's pregnant.
Exactly, but the father is black.
Okay, and so am I. and you're saying that you don't have a problem, that you're not a bigot or you're not a racist, but yes, you are.
No,
you
don't want to
admit it because why? You're afraid that when you go back to work, they're going to know your true colors?
No, I'm actually looking forward to having him as a son-in-law.
That's not what you said earlier.
You want to force your employees to buy her magazine. My thing is, if you own this company, why can't you just send her to Universal Studios on your own?
All right, Charlene, it's a good point. It's a good point.
You say you're black, Charlene?
Excuse me?
You say you're black?
Yes, I am.
Well, I congratulate you. You don't sound like it.
What's that supposed to mean?
So what does a black person sound like?
No, I didn't mean to say anything bad.
Because
I just said you sound white.
You said your daughter is 14 and she's pregnant.
Yeah.
I had a son at 15.
All right.
And
well,
just because I had a child at 15, it doesn't stop anything.
All right, thank you, Charlene.
I'm in the master's program. Right. I have my bachelor's degree.
Wait a minute.
So
did you say that did you say you're a caddy at the master's? I didn't hear what you said.
She's in the master's program.
I had my son at 15
all
years
right.
old.
Okay.
He's 16
all
now.
Right. We got to take a break.
I am a student in the master's program.
Thank you very much. Congratulations, Charlene.
Thank you.
All right, bye-bye. 1-800-449-8686. Employers and their employees. When you bring magazine subscriptions for your kids to sell, when you bring chocolate bars for your kids to sell, do you strong-arm your fellow employees? Do you feel like you're obligated? Mr. Green, you don't feel like you're obligating your employees?
No, I sent out a memo. It said, Cassidy's magazine subscription slips are going to be here next week. As you know, she's going through a tough time. She's pregnant. She was talked into getting pregnant by this guy, and I didn't mention his race. I just said a guy that... you know, a lot of us would probably not, be comfortable if there was a group of them, that's all. And I said that, you better sign up.
All right, 1-800-449-8686.
The Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. FUBAR. One 800-449-8686. The Phil Henry Show is back.
Do you force your? We're back with Robert Green, CEO of Fraser Foods. Are you forcing your employees to buy magazine subscriptions?
How many times do I want to answer this question? The answer is maybe. I mean,
Well, what kind of an answer is that?
Well, look, I'm the boss. I don't say you're fired, but when the magazine subscription slips come around, I will eyeball my employees. See, I don't say they have to buy. I don't say they don't have to buy. I just look at them.
So in other words, you intimidate them.
I don't intimidate them either.
Well, if you're eyeballing me up and down and you're my boss, that would feel like intimidation.
No, that's not intimidation. That's what I would call simply saying to them, you know, this better happen. Now, I've said it once, and I'm going to say it again. My daughter's pregnant. She's going to have an abortion. I'm sorry that I'm forcing her into it. It's the only thing I can do to make sure that she takes over this business. Because of the contacts she will make in terms of business, because of the people she's going to have to meet, because of the social as well as business connections she'll have to make, she cannot possibly have a child of color when she's white. Because then...
It looks like she married a black guy. Everything you say points in that direction that you're a racist.
No, I disagree, okay? The magazine subscriptions, by the way, you can get Ebony, so don't call me a racist.
All right, let me go to a phone here, a phone call. Mark, you're on the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
Hello, how you doing?
Yes, sir.
This is Mark from Little Rock.
Yes, sir.
First off, Bob, I have to agree with you for a second. I have to let
you know that I
agree with the whole color issue.
Thank you very much.
But It seems like the only person with no morals in the story is your daughter, though, sir.
Well, what is that supposed to mean? My daughter got talked into going to bed with a guy.
How did a black guy talk your daughter into going to bed?
Well, I don't know what are you accusing my daughter of? That she wanted to go to bed with the guy?
Did he rape her?
What I'm trying to tell you is this. I'm trying to tell you that there are a number of issues at stake here. One of them is the fact, you know, both of you guys can go straight to hell.
He hung up? That's incredible. The guy hung up on me. Look, I'm not trying to say anything to this guy other than, You can't muscle your implant. I don't care what his whether his daughter got pregnant or not. I don't give a crap if he's decided that she has to have an abortion. Now he's calling me back, huh? Mr. Green.
I'm sorry about hanging up on you, but...
Well, you told me to go straight to hell, too, and I don't appreciate that.
It's just when I heard the voice of that hick, it reminded me of the guy that I caught Sally with, and I told her I took her back. But
is this an issue about your wife?
Can I finish?
Go ahead.
When I heard that voice, it sounded just like the hick that I caught my wife in a parked car at the foot of our driveway with, engaged in a sex act.
Can I ask you something, sir, with...
Excuse me, I'm not done. I heard that hick's voice, and I thought it was him.
The guy that just called was engaged in a sex act with your wife.
I thought it was the same guy, yeah.
You got a daughter who's pregnant by a black guy. Your wife was engaged in a sex act at the bottom of the driveway at your house. And you are trying to muscle magazine.
I'm not muscling anything, Mr. Henry. I'm suggesting it, that's all.
Here is Cindy. Go ahead, Cindy. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Well, if indeed this scenario is a true one, which it doesn't sound like it is, it sounds too unreal to believe.
I don't care what you think, ma'am. I've got a daughter who is...
I know.
Don't get me wrong. I like blacks. They buy a lot of Hostess products. I'm talking
about a 14-year-old girl who's pregnant, and her father is sending memos around to his employees.
I want the girl to get the trip to Universal Studios so that when she has the abortion, she won't be torn apart by it.
Well, then take her down there yourself.
No, she's going to win it.
Oh, geez.
She wants to win the contest.
If I were your daughter,
well,
I might run
away. Wrong. Well, you're not my daughter, okay? If you were my daughter, I'd put you up for adoption.
Well.
That's very funny.
Yeah.
Well, I just, you know.
That's hysterical.
Well, I mean, you know,
well,
my daughter, first of all, I wouldn't want a daughter who's 50. That's number one. Number two.
Look, let's stick to the point.
I said I like blacks.
And I'm not black, thank you. I'm just...
Well, aren't you lucky?
Your daughter, I think you're causing her great trauma.
Well, oh, so she shouldn't have the kid then. Oh, thanks a lot. Great.
I'm saying for you to direct her life the way you are and publicizing...
All right, I'll tell you what, Mom,
publicizing her pregnancy...
Do you have kids?
I certainly do.
Jesus.
All right, thank you. Here is Anthony. You're on the Phil Henry Show, Anthony.
Hello?
Yes, sir, go ahead.
Yeah, did you know that guy? He is a bona fide racist, and you can put it whatever way you
come
want.
Come on, what are you talking about a racist at all?
You okay? Somebody is good enough to work for you, but they're not good enough to date your daughter or whatever.
Well, wait a second. What gives him the right? She's 14, okay? I mean,
wait a minute. She knows at 14.
I don't
she
mind
pretty much knows
her.
Right. Go ahead.
Wait. Let's stick to the point here. How did we get off on race?
I don't mind her dating him. I just don't want her to be, you know, getting the kids.
Okay, what kind of responsibility are you teaching her if you go and say, oh, you had sex, so we'll cover up the little sin that you did and just get you to have an abortion? That's not being responsible. That's copping out.
What are you talking about? What are you talking about? I want my daughter to have the best possible life, and she ain't going to have that.
That's not teaching her responsibility. Let me tell you something. I have a niece that was 13
and
had a baby.
By a white guy?
I'm black, knucklehead.
No, but is she white?
It doesn't make a difference.
His niece.
She's teaching them responsibility if she's black or white.
Well, here's the thing. I don't want to have my daughter look back on her life and suddenly realize that she could have had it all, but instead she decided to, you know, go out with a guy that's, I don't know, playing semi-pro football.
Look at
things happen. She got to suck up the consequences and deal with them. You don't give her the easy scapegoat.
Here's what we do. We get her all the magazine subscriptions. She gets an abortion. She goes to Universal. Everybody feels great.
Okay, you own your own company. Why didn't you just buy her a darn ticket to go to Universal?
You know what she can do? She can sleep with all the black guys she wants then. I said to her, if you win that contest, sleep with every black guy in the company. I don't care.
Wait a minute. Was this guy somebody you work with?
Unfortunately, yes.
You know what? You can put it the way you want, but, you know, to me, you are just a bona fide racist. And that's
how do you
bottom line.
That? That's really
bona fide.
How do you figure that?
Or you're not. Point blank, brother.
How do you figure that? I don't get that. That's the craziest thing I've ever heard. I'm a racist.
Yes, you are.
I don't understand.
You've just been talking about how you don't want her, you know, dating black guys. You're having a black kid.
But they can work for you. you know, they can work for you, but, oh, they're not good enough to date my daughter. Oh, no, sir. My exactly. daughter would not have a black person in her life.
That's exactly correct.
Oh, you're racist.
All right.
Goodbye. Have a nice one.
You too. You know what? You look like to me with your big black voice and your, never mind.
All right. Let's, Ellen, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show. Ellen?
Hi. I'm calling in reference to the magazine issue.
Uh-huh.
And when I sold magazines, I went door-to-door knocking, and I sold them by myself. My father, who's a doctor, didn't take them in and tell
his employees. We're not talking about you, are we? We're talking about my daughter. I'm not talking about you.
That he said that he made his employees or his patients buy my magazines.
You know, Ellen, you know what you look like to me with your good bag and your bad shoes?
Because I wanted to win the contest for myself.
You look like a rube. A well-scrubbed hustling
My
rogue.
Father had nothing to do with
good
me winning the contest.
Nutrition has given you length of bone, but you're not too far removed from two generations of poor white trash. And oh,
excuse
how
me?
The boys found you, Ellen. With all
furthermore,
sticky,
Bob Green, if you spent more time with your
college,
daughter instead of on the phone,
all you wanted to do was to get out.
Wouldn't be knocked
get anywhere.
Up by a
get all
guy.
The way to the FBI.
Okay. So I'm all done with him. And, you know, some of the things that...
Wait, the guy she slept with bought 5 magazines, so we're cool.
Well, that's great. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. I want to be a black youth leader. The Phil Henry Show is back.
By the way, I do the voices of all the characters on this show, and the people who call are unprompted and unpaid, and they're like real folks that call in. Unlike Punked, where they got to go out and find people. And that's the difference. All right, 1-800-449-8686, and we haven't yet had Pink call the show, but 1-800-449-8686, but Gary Shandling did. Anyway, Paul Lane was on our show the other day. He's a high school football coach. Who's a winner? This guy has won tons of championships at the division, whatever the hell it is, level, and he does it because he knows how to motivate kids. He threatens them and his families with violence if they don't win.
Phil Henry Show.
Comedy gold.
You are the most horrible man I have heard in a long time. You have no business being around children.
Well, ma'am,
you have no
what?
Business being a teacher or a coach. And if I was lived out there, I would make it my personal mission to make sure you are never around children again. Never had a foundation, never had a motivational camp, never were around children again.
I don't
you
understand.
You are horrible.
What have I done? What did I do? Except
you
try to...
You abused children, and you abused their parents.
Ma'am, I never
and
laid a hand on these kids.
Even if it might have been a... You abused them.
I never
you,
laid a hand on these boys, and I never laid a hand on anybody.
You verbally abused them.
In what way, ma'am? I'm trying to motivate these kids to win a football
game.
That
is not how you motivated. That is not how you motivate someone. And maybe if you were a good coach, and maybe if you motivated them correctly,
well, what
you,
did I
maybe
say?
You would have been winning the last 15
ma'am, what,
years
what did
rather
I
than
say,
losing.
What did I say specifically that you find fault with? Hello?
Well, Mr. Henry
yes.
Specifically gave some everything that you said about Kobe Bryant. That's disgusting. That's not motivation. That's disgusting. That is abusive.
Well, ma'am,
you're threatening
you
children.
You said, Mr. Lane, you said that you would treat his mother the way Kobe treated that girl.
Mr. Henry, that is, as far as I'm concerned, consensual sex. Is that correct?
Well, let's say it was. What are you talking about? You're going to have consensual sex with the kid's mother?
I've got to find a way to get these kids. This lady, with all due respect, the lady I'm talking to, is a perfect example of the parents I deal with.
Listen, no.
They're
I
soft.
Have been coaching
kids
boys
are unmotivated.
For over 20 years, and I successfully
oh
motivate
God.
Boys to win. I coach basketball, I coach soccer, I coach Little League, and I successfully have winning teams for over 20 years. I spend my time volunteering. I don't get paid like you do, sir.
Well, ma'am, if you're
and
so good, how come you're not? If you're so good,
win.
Why aren't you in Division I football? I don't understand that. If you're so
but
good.
It's a sport. It's motivating children, whatever it is, and I have never, ever or abused one child verbally, physically, or any other way. Well, I treat their parents with respect, and I treat the children with respect. That's what they deserve.
Well, I'm
you
sure
have no business being around children.
Basically, what you're telling me is you got a very high opinion of yourself, which doesn't prove anything, okay? That's
no,
why you
You actually have a very high opinion
that's,
of yourself.
That's why
you're
you
disgusting.
Don't win. That's why you don't win, though, because you...
I do, and I have a winning team.
No.
I always beat the men. Beat the men.
Is, am I wrong, Mr. Henderson? She said she does not win, but it doesn't matter to her.
I do win.
No,
I
you
do
said
win.
You don't win.
I have
you
a winning
said,
team.
You said you have a losing team.
Years.
No, she said she had a winning team.
A
for
winning
over
20, team
no,
for over 20 years.
She said her teams lose, but she doesn't care. See? And that's what's wrong with America.
Bill Henry Show.
Comedy Gold.
And now it's Bud Dickman.
Big wheels.
Best, most radical, radical accents in NASCAR.
Big wheels rolling. Gotta keep them going.
What's the matter?
Big wheels.
Just do it.
Okay, this weekend it was the Subway 500 in some town in Virginia. Jeff Gordon overcame a slow pit stop, but then a lug nut fell off, cost him 9 spots, and Gordon went, I got the wheel! The wheel! But he won the race, so he's okay. Then, another time at...
Wait a second, man. If you win the race, what do you mean, ah?
Well, I don't know the guy...
The guy what? What did he do?
A lug nut fell off.
Yeah, a lug nut fell off, and what? He screamed into the wall screaming? He died in flames?
No, but there wasn't that many accidents.
Well, then we don't do Bud's Radical Accidents, do we?
No, but I can make a lot of stuff sound good if you just let me...
Go ahead.
I was coming to work today, and then I saw Phil's car, and I decided I wanted to crash into it, but I didn't, because it was... Oh, God, I hate him so much. I hate working on his freaking show. What a jackass.
Get out of here, bud.
Asshole.
Get out of here, man.
You'll be sorry.
Yeah, I know. I'll be sorry. Yeah. Yeah. There weren't any accidents, so you got to make stuff up.
Dick.
Get out of here, man. Oh, that's, yeah, that really hurts.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, just because you got your finger on a freaking button, huh?
Well, you got your finger on.
Get out of here with your sound effects. There were no bad accidents in NASCAR this weekend. Nobody spun out. Nobody burned alive.
How about if I do my closeout?
Go ahead and do your freaking closeout.
You gotta keep them going.
See you later, everybody. This is Bud Dickman. Until next week.
There, you feel better?
Yeah, thanks.
Until next week. Ah. Anyway, hey, speaking of those magazine subscriptions, you know, my daughter is an utter... Do any of you guys got kids at home that are doing these? Because my daughter's a complete and utter maniac with this. She has come home... I mean, if you, I can't even describe it. There was a huge trauma at our house about 2 weeks ago when she was near tears because if she didn't get enough magazine subscriptions signed up, she couldn't spin the prize wheel at school. And what was on the prize wheel? Well, the big prize was $50, and then the rest of it was like cheesy stuff. And she comes home with like a milk cup, like a Donald Duck milk cup, and I go, look, see, I said, what is that? Is that what you got? For all the angst we went through this morning? Well, I could have got $50. My daughter is, like, huge into contests. All kinds of crap arriving morning, noon and night. 3 a.m. in the morning, got a UPS shipment. Something my daughter won. Some ray gun. Some rocket ship. She came home the other day. She went to the fair at school. She's coming back. She won the dime toss. She came back with a crate with, like, a full china set. I swear to God, I'm like, what is, where did you get this, Catherine?
I won it in the dime toss.
I said, are you kidding me? This is like China. This is, you know, a rare Ming vase. Well, I don't know. They were giving away. Yeah, baloney. Whose home did you steal it from? But this magazine subscription, this is the whole other thing. And, you know, it kind of bugs me. Now, my kid goes to Catholic school. God love the Catholics, okay? I grew up, you know, going to Catholic school. But, man, you talk about angles on how to raise money. Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. More ways of raising bread than you ever seen in your life. They got bingo. They got the fair. They got the kids are selling subscriptions. The kids are bringing in, you know, they're selling soup cans. They're selling this. They're selling that. They're selling their souls. They're bringing in this. They're bringing turning stuff into money. You know, the whole thing is like the Archdiocese of L.A. has got $85 billion, but their whole trip is, well, we let the parishes stand on their own. So you can go for like a multi-million dollar cathedral downtown into some, you know, boxcar the kids are going to school in called St. Genevieve's, and they go to church in a cardboard shack, and, well, you know, the diocese wants us to stand on our own, and so far it's pretty tough getting out of bed in the morning. Yeah, looks great, man. And they're playing football on a field, man. You wouldn't graze a cow on this thing. Other than that, name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. See you tomorrow, 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686.